Hello, and thanks for joining us on Chicago Tonight Latino Voices. I'm Joanna Hernandez. Here's what we're looking at. More turmoil at Chicago Public Schools as the Board of Education's president resigns over controversial posts on social media. With the election just days away, are demeaning comments about Puerto Rico moving the dial with Latino voters. And community members are pushing to stop a metal shredding facility from receiving a new permit. And now to some of today's top stories. Chicago police are announcing hate crime and terrorism charges in the shooting of a 39-year-old Jewish man in West Ridge. It comes after calls from 50th Ward Alderwoman Deborah Silverstein, who says the victim was in traditional Orthodox dress and on his way to the synagogue when he was shot. Police say he was taken to a nearby hospital where he was treated and released. A 22-year-old West Pullman man is facing the hate crime and attempted murder charges. There's more information on our website. And community members advocating for immigrant and refugee rights are criticizing Mayor Brandon Johnson following his city budget proposal. This comes after the city announced plans to end the migrant shelter system by the end of the year and to instead combine the program with local homelessness services in a plan called the One System Initiative. City officials say the streamlined operations will reduce costs, but some local organizers say the move will place a greater strain on the city's homelessness crisis.
Multiple recommendations from the One System Initiative have been put on hold right off the bat, including the decision to eliminate shelter beds without a full plan to replace them, leaving the city at least 4,000 beds short of what the city itself says it needs to offer shelter to everyone who needs it. And relying on 311, which is already overstretched, is not a reliable solution.
And the White Sox have a new manager, Will Venable. He's a former major leaguer and was a Cubs coach before his most recent job as an associate manager of the Texas Rangers. Despite the Sox just completing a record-setting losing season, Venable says he's cautiously optimistic.
There were struggles and challenges, but this is a group that I saw come with energy every day and really compete. And that's, you know, that's for me, what's really important. And I thought it really showed a lot and something that I'm looking forward to helping progress and move forward.
There are just 104 days until pitchers and catchers report for spring training. And some of the youngest trick-or-treaters are getting into the Halloween spirit. Families and staff from the intensive care units at Loyola University Medical Center in Maywood celebrate these babies' very first Halloween with the help of some handmade costumes. This year's costumes included the Bride of Frankenstein, Ghostbusters, and pumpkins. How adorable. Up next, why the head of Chicago Public Schools Board of Education resigned just days after he was sworn in.
Chicago Tonight, Latino Voices, is made possible in part by the support of these donors.
The Chicago Board of Education is once again without a chair after today's resignation of Reverend Mitchell Ikenna Johnson. Reverend Johnson stepped down after reporters uncovered nearly a dozen social media posts he made that were anti-Semitic, misogynistic, and conspiratorial. Less than 24 hours before asking for his resignation, the mayor expressed confidence he could make amends. Let's listen.
It in no way reflects, you know, I believe his, you know, commitment to ensuring that every single child and our public school system is seen and heard and valued. He has, you know, expressed his sorrow for those statements, and he will release a full statement, and he will continue to seek atonement in the coming days, working with the Jewish community and really working across the city of Chicago to make sure that voices are fully heard.
Our Heather Sharon joins us now with more. Heather, we have some breaking news. Tell us what changed since the mayor told reporters Reverend Johnson could continue to serve as the CPS board chair.
Well, still more social media posts made by Johnson were uncovered. These were some misogynistic, suggesting that women were only out to get money from men in child support cases. We know that Johnson has been in court for over child support issues. He also suggested the September 11th, 2001 attacks were, quote, an inside job. So that made his position untenable, especially after Governor J.B. Pritzker issued a statement this morning calling on him to step down. Hours later, Mayor Johnson put out a statement saying he had requested Johnson, who is, of course, no relation to the mayor, his resignation. And now, as you said, CPS, for the second time in less than a month, has no board chair.
And the question is, why didn't the mayor and his team find these posts before making him the CPS board and giving him this president position?
Well, reporters asked the mayor exactly that yesterday, and he really didn't answer. But it's not clear why this information wasn't found or wasn't sort of the mayor wasn't prepared to answer these questions. There's been a lot of turmoil at CPS. All seven members of the board resigned early in October. The mayor announced six members, including Johnson, and then announced a seventh. So there has been a lot of chaos. Perhaps this just got lost in the shuffle.
Slipped in the cracks. The first meeting now for the CPS board is set to take place tomorrow. What happens next, Heather?
Well, that meeting will go forward. It's not clear who the mayor will appoint to replace Johnson. He does have that power to do so. The board could also start moving toward terminating CEO Pedro Martinez, who has resisted the mayor's request to resign. But this amount of sort of chaos, as I said, for any school district means it's not clear what happens next.
And voters go to the polls Tuesday to elect 10 new members of the Chicago Board of Education. Now, what does this mean with this resignation?
Well, Mitchell Johnson was not running for one of the 10 seats that is up for grabs on Tuesday's elections. So until that new board takes office in January, it will be totally controlled by the mayor. After January, the mayor will have 11 appointments on the school board to serve on a 21-member board. Who those people will be is in the hands of Chicago voters for the first time in Chicago's history.
Well, thank you, Heather, for that update.
Thanks, Joanna.
And you can read Heather's full story on our website. It's all at WTTW.com/news. And we're back with more right after this. With just 5 days until the election, Chicagoans have already cast more than 320,000 ballots. Among those are Latinos, who make up an increasing number of voters across Illinois. Both presidential candidates have made a point of reaching out to them in the final days of the campaign in their effort to win them over. And joining us now to break it all down is Jose Sanchez Molina, communications and political consultant who previously served as Deputy Press Secretary for Governor J.B. Pritzker. And on Zoom, we have Jose Lopez, Executive Director of the Puerto Rican Culture Center. We also reached out to the Chicago Republican Party and other Republican voters, but we didn't hear back. Now, Jose Sanchez, the last time we spoke, Vice President Kamala Harris was recently nominated. The Democratic Convention was being held here. Do you think she brought the energy to the campaign you said you were looking for?
Absolutely. I think the convention not only began the rolling out of her policy platform, but I think she was also able to build on successfully on some of the policy victories that we have had here in Illinois, some of the same progressive milestones that she wants to achieve at the federal level. And so I think she was able to carry that energy over, not just to her campaign, but some of the other races that are up and down the ballot in other states.
And what messages from the vice president do you think are resonating with Latino supporters, would you say?
I think there's a big focus on making sure that home purchases become more affordable. Small business owners have an opportunity to do just that, begin a small business. And then also a focus on education, making sure that that is a priority for our nation. I think these are all things that resonate with voters right now.
And Mr. Lopez, according to the census data, the number of eligible voters in Illinois is increasing. It also shows that eligible Latino voters in general are younger than other voting groups. Are you seeing more engagement in this election from Latinos here in Chicago than in the past?
Oh, absolutely, especially in the last few days after those incredible, despicable comments made at a Trump rally. What is important to us is that we need to be respected as a community. They show utter disrespect for us, and our community responded, not only in Chicago, but throughout the country. And in a state like Pennsylvania, where there's 500,000 Puerto Ricans, where the largest Latino voting group is Puerto Rican, there is no doubt in my mind that this is a transformative moment across the board for Puerto Ricans and for Latinos. And one of the things that I think is very important to also note is that for too long, if many Puerto Ricans have thought that when Trump and his campaign talks about Latinos or about immigrants, they're talking about someone else. For the first time, we really know publicly what he thinks, even though we knew in Puerto Rico what he thought before when he went to Puerto Rico during the hurricane, right after Hurricane Maria, threw towels at the Puerto Rican people and then said, well, 16 people dead doesn't compare to Katrina, and yet over 4,500 Puerto Ricans died in Hurricane Maria. In addition to that, I think that this has energized the community. We have a whole host of Puerto Rican celebrities now endorsing, openly endorsing, including Bad Bunny, including Jennifer Lopez, and a whole host that are backing Harris now. And there's a groundswell in our community. And I think next Tuesday is going to be transformative here and in Puerto Rico, because the candidate for the statehood party in Puerto Rico, Jennifer Gonzalez, is vice president of the Latinos for Trump.
And Mr. Lopez, I want to talk about that comment that you mentioned. Sanchez, you know, earlier this week, as he just said, a comedian at the Trump's rally in New York made a joke calling Puerto Rico a floating pile of garbage. We heard what Mr. Lopez had to say. And the Trump campaign distanced themselves from that joke, saying it doesn't reflect their views. Was that enough for Puerto Ricans and other Latinos who were upset by that?
Absolutely not. What I saw President Trump say is that he didn't know who the comedian was, had no idea how he got on stage and all that. And I think it's a pattern of what we continue to see President Trump do. I was working for the Illinois governor when COVID happened. Trump was MIA. January 6th, Trump was MIA. And I think this continues on that pattern of when things happen, when things go wrong, he's nowhere to be seen. There is no accountability. And I think what Latinos wanted was just an apology. I'm sorry, that was disrespectful, that was out of line, and please forgive me. But he didn't do that.
Do you think this would have an impact on his campaign?
Absolutely. I think this is exactly what, if you're on Vice President Harris's campaign, you want. You want something that's going to energize your base, your voters, get people out, enough to get them to do that 15-minute walk, 30-minute drive to go and cast their ballot.
And Mr. Lopez, we're just 5 days away from the election day. What does this growing demographic of voters mean for the upcoming election?
Well, it definitely means that we are a decisive factor. I want to, obviously, most people don't think of Wisconsin and Michigan as having sizable Latino and Puerto Rican population. In Wisconsin, there are over 50,000 Puerto Ricans. They could easily make the difference in Wisconsin. In Michigan, there are at least 40,000 Puerto Ricans. They could easily make the difference. We look at Georgia. We look at North Carolina. Puerto Ricans are now a sizable population, and Latinos are a sizable population in those states that could make the difference for the Electoral College.
And Mr. Sanchez, a number of swing states have areas with high, as he mentioned, high Latino population, and both candidates are making a point of addressing the Latino communities there. What is the final push here, you would say?
So the polls show that the race is pretty tight in some of those battle states within decimals of a percentage. And so they're out there trying to win votes. I think what we want to see is Vice President Harris continue to tout some of the policy goals that she has in mind. And I think what President Trump is trying to do is say, forget about all the bad things that I've said, economy, economy, economy. But I don't think that's going to resonate based off what was said a couple of days ago.
And we know Latinos, like other groups, care about a variety of issues and have connected with Trump's message. Some have connected with his message. What do you think resonates with them from the Trump campaign, you would say?
I think President Trump benefits from a misperceived notion that Republicans really look out for voters when it comes to the economy. But the data shows that when Democrats are in charge, they actually pass policy that adds jobs, increases the minimum wage, and brings in more money for working families and their households. So I think the data And you know, actually, Nicky Jam, he said it when he rescinded his endorsement.
He supported Trump, correct?
He supported Trump. And when he rescinded his endorsement, he said, I was only looking out for the
And for
economy.
Those who don't, Nicky Jam is a Puerto Rican rapper.
A Puerto Rican rapper, reggaeton artist, sells millions of records, has made songs with Bad Bunny, who people know. And said, I was looking out for the economy. But based off of what was said at his rally, enough is enough. That was a line that was too much for me.
He took the endorsement back.
He did.
Well, thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
And the race for president, of course, isn't the only office you'll be voting for. Check out our online voter guide for information on candidates running for state's attorney, school board, Congress, and much more. And up next, why some Pilsen residents are saying no to a metal shredder facility. Stay with us. Members are pushing to stop a metal shredding facility from receiving a new permit. At issue, the Sims Metal Management Company in Pilsen that was cited by state and federal officials for violating environmental laws. The company agreed to build new equipment to contain emissions from their site. But advocates say the company shouldn't get its permit until they put in the new equipment and showing it's working to contain emissions. Here to talk more about those issues are Brian McKean, member of the Southwest Environmental Alliance, and Teresa McNamara, chairwoman of the Southwest Environmental Alliance. Now, we also invited Sims Metal and the Chicago Department of Public Health, but they declined to join. However, they did send statements that we'll be getting to shortly. Thank you both for joining us. Teresa, I want to start with you. Give us a little background. This became a concern for your organization back in 2018 when they were cited by the EPA. What did they discover?
Well, what they found was that Sims was violating the law. And so the attorney general decided, because they were breaking the law, let's take them to court, and that's what they did. And what we decided as a community is that those things needed to be addressed. Our health of the children and the health of the elderly that live in that community, it's affecting them. So yeah, we were very much concerned about all of these things. And until they do what they're supposed to do, we're going to continue to do what we have to do. Go and meet with the city, go and talk to the mayor, talk with the CDPH and try to see what they come up with.
Why are you so passionate about this?
Well, my mom and my sister, my mom died of a lung disease. My sister has a lung disease. And I have a set of triplets in the family that have asthma. And we've just talking to people in the community and hearing about how this pollution is affecting them. You can hear in my voice, I have a raspy voice, and I'm pretty sure that has to do with the pollution in the community.
This is personal for you.
Yes.
And Brian, so we know the facility has an agreement to install new monitoring equipment. What will the new equipment do?
So what the equipment is supposed to do is to reduce the emissions that come from the metal shredder by 81%. That's what is required by the law, and that's what when it was previously tested, Sims was at or below 50%.
And what other requirements is your organization seeking from the company? What do you want people to know?
So what we're asking is for the mayor to step in and pause the permitting process so that there can be a health risk assessment done to look at the risk to the community, considering local factors, the nature of the people that live there, as well as other sources of pollution and what the risk truly is, similar to what was done when General Iron was seeking a permit in the southeast side. Then Mayor Lightfoot paused the process and instructed CDPH to work with the US EPA to develop a health impact study. And then when the permit was ultimately denied, they relied on that study and the bad track record of the facility and its operators in denying the permit. And that's what we would like. We'd like to have the health risks known and studied. We'd like for the track record of legal violations by Sims to be fully considered by CDPH, and for no permit to be issued until the air filtering pollution control equipment you mentioned is installed and also shown to be working properly.
And I want to talk about, and I want to read a statement from the Sims Metal and what they said in part. They said, Sims Metal welcomes an ongoing engagement with the community, and we look forward to continuing to provide this essential recycling service in Pilsen in a safe and sustainable manner in line with the EPA's. So they're saying that in the EPA's 2024 findings that Sims Metal does not cause either short or long-term health effects for the community near the facility. Teresa, have they offered your organization an opportunity to meet with them, and how did that go?
Well, we've met with them, but the long and short of it is our people are the ones that are getting sick. Our children are the ones that are sick, not theirs. So it's not important to them. So for us, all we want them to do is to follow their own law. And the law says that they need to fix, put this piece of equipment up and prove that it works. And once they do that, I'd be more than happy to say they can have a permit. But right now, I would say don't give them a permit, because right now we're giving them a permit to pollute our community. And I don't want that, not for our community.
And Brian, you're currently urging the city to put a halt on this permit, right?
Yes, and if I could address the statement that was made, I'd like to respond to that. So what the US EPA came out with, the day before there was a community meeting, CDPH emailed the US EPA saying, oh, hey, what about long-term effects? They came out with a one-paragraph cursory statement, and that conclusion is not supported by a report. And so if EPA thinks that there isn't an issue with long-term health risks, then they should submit a detailed report which cites particular data used, the methods employed, and the analysis which leads to that conclusion. Right now, it's just a brief paragraph where they've come to this conclusion just by comparing two numbers, health benchmarks. That doesn't look at risk to the community, doesn't look at risk to children, and doesn't consider the fact that Pilsen is an environmental justice community, and Chicago has made commitments to do work to end the environmental racism.
Work that wasn't done before.
Yeah, there was a HUD lawsuit, the result of which the city of Chicago and the mayor has agreed to make inroads, to make progress on ending city practices of environmental discrimination. And right now, this is an example of not making good on those promises and really taking a step backward. We'd like at least the treatment that the southeast side got when there was a pause to the permitting process and a fuller examination of the risks, and especially since the lawsuit and the city is supposed to be making improvements. We haven't seen that in the actions we've seen, and we haven't seen that coming from CDPH.
And Teresa, we only have time for one last question. You know, what plans do you have in place moving forward? What's the message here?
The message is to keep pushing to get what we need in our community. And if they're not addressing that, we just need to keep pounding on doors and say, you've got to address this issue.
You're not going to stop.
We're not going to stop. It has to be addressed. And my worry is once we end up possibly giving them a permit, we don't know, because they don't have the equipment up, we don't know if they're going to follow through and plug it in.
I'm going to have to leave it
okay,
at that.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Thank you. Thank you both for being here.
Need the mayor to do the right thing.
Exactly. The mayor.
We'll be back to wrap things up right after this. Because it's Halloween, I figured I will join in the fun. Today I'll be passing out candy in my pumpkin suit since I'm brewing my own little pumpkin. Again, that is our show for tonight. Be sure to sign up for our newsletter, The Daily Chicagoan, at WTW.com/newsletter. And while you're there, check out our website for the very latest from our newsroom. And join us tomorrow night at 5:37 and 10 for the weekend review. Now, from all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Joanna Hernandez. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe. Good night. Happy Halloween.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a personal injury law firm committed to giving back to the community through law and philanthropy.